The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Hopefully all of us realize that God's Word is full of analogies. With that statement in mind, in this message today, we're going to look closely at two what I would consider as extremely significant analogies that God uses. One is the analogy of a building, and the second one is the analogy of a body. We also need to realize that both of these often refer to the Church of God. I have titled this message today, "Let Us Be About Our Father's Business." So first of all, let's consider the analogy of the church and the building aspect. So from the beginning of this message, I want us to realize very clearly that the church of God is God's church. I mean, when we think about it, we realize he has placed his name on it and he is the builder. In fact, God isn't doing Let me rephrase this. If God isn't doing the building, the church will not get built. I mean, after all human efforts will be in vain. We see this major principle over in the book of Psalms. So go with me to the book of Psalms 127 and verse 1. 127 verse 1, and I'm only going to read the first part, the A part of the verse. Psalm 127 verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. If God isn't doing it, our efforts are in vain. And Jesus also promised us that God's church will get built, and he also made the statement that it will endure. It's going to get built and it's going to endure. Go with me to Matthew 16 and verse 18. Matthew 16 and verse 18. And I say also unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall never prevail against it. I will build the church. The church is going to get built and it's going to endure. This very special building that God is creating is so important to him because it is where he intends to dwell forever. So I think that would make it very, very important to recognize it, to understand it. It is called a temple not made with hands. We see that in the book of Acts, chapter 7, Acts 7:48. Howbeit the Most High dwells not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophets. God calls it his church, and he wants his name on this special building. And as we know, this building is not really an earthly thing. However, we also need to realize physical earthly humans are a necessary part of the building process. In other words, we have a place. We have a part in this. God's called out ones are now being spiritually transformed so that we can ultimately be an honorable part of that lasting building. Go with me to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were destroyed, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. What it's talking about is the first part of that is talking about our physical bodies. The second part is talking about that we're connected to the body of Jesus Christ, the church of God. Even though God is the ultimate designer and builder, and he is, his called out ones have been given work to do for this building. The Apostle Paul continues the use of this analogy of building as he explains what God had assigned him to do in God's process of building. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. And in this verse, we notice the words every man. Those words are referring to the called out ones. It's referring to the church of God. Individually, each one of us needs to have the right foundation. I mean, after all, we have to be part of the building, and we also have to be one of the workers. We need to be one of the every man that we just read, that we saw here in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 10. Because, brethren, what we see is God had granted to Paul the responsibility of laying the foundation of Jesus Christ, who obviously is the one and only suitable foundation. The fact is, Jesus had to be the foundation as well as the chief cornerstone. In fact, what we also read is that Jesus is the stone that God had prepared before everything else could even begin to be built. Go back to in the Old Testament to the book of Isaiah 28 and verse 16. Isaiah 28, verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone. Now, we know that in many places, I've said this many times, in many places in the Old Testament, when it refers to Zion, it is referring to the church. So I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believes shall not make haste. This is referring to Jesus Christ. And this had to be laid before anything else could be built. Then, once God, through his servants, has laid this secure foundation that he's speaking about, others are to add to the building. That's what Paul talked about. That's what he's saying. This building is to be fitly framed together, and then it is to be able to grow. It's to grow. Once it's fitly framed together, it's to grow. Ephesians 2, verse 20, beginning in verse 20. Ephesians 2, verse 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, and whom you also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. This analogy is so many places that we keep looking at here. So Paul exhorted the church to build, and he also exhorted the laborers to be very careful about what they used as building material. The reason is because, after all, the work the individual does is going to be thoroughly tested. So you have to be careful about what building material. You think you're building within the church of God, you got to be extremely careful about the building materials that we are using. Oh, and by the way, he tells us what the building materials are, and he gives them to us. So what we see is that Paul gives us a good summary of each individual's part in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We, the individuals, are the laborers, the husbandry, as well as part of the building that Paul addresses. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 3, beginning in verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. That's pretty straightforward. That's pretty clear. Verse 10, according to the grace of God, which God has given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So if there's some other foundation, if somebody else is trying to build other than on Jesus Christ, wrong material, wrong foundation, wrong spot, wrong building, wrong place. Verse 12. Now if any man builds upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. It's going to be made known. Whatever kind of material he uses, it's going to be made known. It's going to come out. Everyone's going to know. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, continues, which he has built upon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. It's an either or. We're using right materials because it's going to be tried. It's going to be tested. And if it continues on, that's good. It's been built upon good things using right materials. If it hadn't, it's going to burn. It's not going to last forever. He shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be safe. Yet so as by fire, know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the temple of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Now, if you just read these verses, which we just did, and you actually think about what this is saying, we are being told we need to be very, very careful how we deal with all the parts of the body, all the parts of this building that God is, that he is building here. And so here we need to ask, what is Paul talking about when he refers to any man's work that is going to be tested by fire? I think clearly we all can see this is serious. So what does it mean? Well, there are some things, and I've listed as points in my notes so that I can keep up with it easier. There are some things that we need to make sure that we know, and I'm going to list them as I've got them. Number one, we need to know what God's ultimate goal is for this building. Number two, we need to know what is God's process. Number three, we need to know what our part is in God's building process. Number four, we need to know what materials we are using. And then number five, we need to know whether or not our part in the building will stand through the fiery testing. Because it's going to be tested. That's the point. Is it going to stand? Paul mentions the second analogy that we were going to talk about over in Ephesians chapter 4. Paul's teaching to the Ephesians helps us to understand God's goal as he builds his church, the body of Jesus Christ. This is also telling us that part of being in this special body involves speaking the truth, and also that our part must be done in love. So go with me to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And here, brethren, we need to seriously ask ourselves, if what we speak on a moment by moment basis is the truth, and if we're speaking it in love. See, I think we approach these kinds of topics sometimes casually. Well, we're in the church, and so we know this and we know that. And yes, we're in the church and we know this and we know that. But this is serious. And I don't think that we really think about it in that way. And I know, yeah, this is going to, you know, it may come down on some people, say, well, that was really too hard and that was this and that. And I say, I don't think so. So here in this fourth chapter of Ephesians, Paul continues with how the finished building will be accomplished. Paul told the Ephesians that the various responsibilities and duties God has given to specific people is for the edifying, is for the building up of the entire church until the finished product meets God's perfect standard. And of course, that is Jesus Christ fully formed in the church, fully developed within the church. And of course, Paul refers to apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And then he also refers to why God gave them, why he gave them to the church. Ephesians 4, verse 11. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he, God, gave some, he gave some of these positions and responsibilities to certain people within the body of Jesus Christ. This is what he's saying. And God gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He tells us he gave these positions in there, these positions of responsibilities that somebody's supposed to be doing, and he tells us why he gave them and why he gave them to the church. Then in verse 13, Paul also referred to each individual member of the body, the building. Verse 13, until we all come, he gave these positions in the church, until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And there are people today saying, we don't need these responsibilities of people fulfilling these jobs in the church today. And I go, oh, so you're saying that the building's completely finished? And I don't think so. And I don't think any of us think it's finished either. Now, looking back up here in chapter 4 in verses 1 through 3, Paul refers to our part in this process as a vocation. And he tells us what is required. So let's go to Ephesians 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you have been called. So he's telling us we've been called to this. We've been called to this. Verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. He called us to this vocation, and these are things that we're to be doing. In other words, notice again these requirements that he's telling us to be called worthy. Because this is his focus, this is Paul's focus. The qualities are lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So what we need to ask here is that what individuals are doing today? In other words, do we see this in the Church of God? Is that what we are doing? You know, we could put our name there. Is this just what I am doing? Is this what we are doing? And I mean, after all, we need to understand and realize this. These are the basic building tools and building materials that we must be working with. God is building a building. Paul tells us that he was given this responsibility to lay down a foundation. Others are to build upon it. And so this building is still being built. And we have a part in it. We've seen all of this. This is what we're seeing. Here's the materials that we're to be working with. And we need to ask, is there currently a bond of peace among God's people? Don't everyone start laughing at once. Because we know it's not there. And that's a shame. Also, we need to ask, is there meekness and long-suffering toward one another? We read these verses, and evidently we are being told that we are to be perfected. That's what we just read. Let's read it again. Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Are we there yet? Therefore, our understanding that these things are God's goals for us will help us to embrace them and become very practiced in the proper understanding of God's building design, as well as our own proper use of the tools and materials that He provides us. So we could say, are we doing this? Brethren, without a doubt, we have a lot of work to do before the saints are purified and perfected and the building, the body, is complete and perfect. Let's continue on where we were reading here in Ephesians 4. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Have we ever had any of that in the church of God? Yes. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in Him and all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part. We all have a part. We all are to be joining in. We are to be working together and doing these things, making increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. It is all to be done. It is all to be done in love. You see, brethren, our God, our Father, by and through Jesus Christ, will provide us with all the power and everything else that we need to do our part so that we can all be joined at each possible location in the body. Now, if you've ever built anything, if you've ever built a building, you know there are different parts of it. You can take different boards, and they're joined at different places. Same boards, different places. You join one here, you join it here. They're joined together. And then there's another one here, then there's another one here. You know, I mean, you know, without even seeing this, you understand how a building is. This is what he's talking about. We're those different parts, and we're to be joining together so we all fit together in one body. It's a great analogy. Here's the point we need to realize. God's calling is not an accident. Now, what I mean by that, He knows us. He knows whom He has called. God did not put our name or an assigned number to us in a glass jar and pull out our names at random. Now, I don't know how that hits you and you think about it, but just think about that. Drawings are done sometimes and people win prizes because you're assigned a number, your name is put on a little piece of paper and it's put into the jar and they reach it. That's not what he did. He knows us. He knows us from the beginning. He intentionally, intimately knows every member that is part of the body. He knows us. He knows what we need to be part of the plan where he will eventually succeed in joining it all together when it's a finished product. It's going to look like Jesus Christ. He knows that, and he knows that he's putting people together, so that is going to happen. And without a doubt, any way you want to look at it, that is such a privilege to be part of that, to be not drawn out of a fishbowl, but he knows us. to be there, to be that part of the body. So, let each one of us be about our Father's business, about His current business of building His church. The church isn't finished. It's not ready. Go with me to Colossians 3 and verse 12. We begin. Colossians 3, beginning in verse 12. Put on therefore this, the elect of God. That's us, the holy and beloved. That's us. He says, put on bowels of mercy, put on kindness, put on humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection. Wow. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be you thankful. Do we ever just thank God that He has called us and put us into the body of Jesus Christ? I mean, we all know it. But do we actually acknowledge that verbally to God and say, thank you, thank you. I know I'm a warp board sometimes. Straighten out the board. And Brent, one of those things that should be very obvious that we are all to do is we are required to put effort into keeping the unity that God has provided us through His Spirit. He puts us all together through His Spirit, and there's to be unity. And then we find there's disunity? Excuse me? I mean, do we really have God's Spirit if... I know this is a hard question to ask. This is a hard question to ask ourselves. Do we really have God's Spirit if we do not have this sense of needing the unity that God provides for us? I don't know about you, but that's a sobering question. Although we are each an important member of the body, we need each other to succeed. And we have this me mentality. I can do all of this. I know, Philippians 4, we're told, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, but that verse is also in connection to we're all one. We're all part of this body. This is the whole body in that sense. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, on an individual basis, I can do what it is that God is wanting me to do. But it's to succeed, all of us have to do this together. Do we really get this point? I hope so. And brother, the Bible also informs us that the bond of peace is required. And please understand and realize, brethren, this bond of peace is crucial to maintaining unity. Please go with me now to Ephesians 3 and verse 17. 3:17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. We're to be praying things like this, that Jesus is dwelling in us, and we are rooted and grounded in love. Because all of this is needed. We're still talking about this bond of peace here. Let's also ask ourselves, do we actually discern the Lord's body? And then another question that quickly goes right behind that is, what is the consequence when we do not? If we're not really discerning the Lord's body, what's the consequences if we don't do it? The Bible gives us the answer. It's 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 30. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 30. For this cause... Because some are not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Many of the church of God have died because some are not discerning the Lord's body. That is the consequence. Another question, do we live as if we know whose house we are building? Is it ours or is it God's? Has God's house been laid waste? That's what Haggai asked. That's what Haggai addressed. Go with me back to the book of Haggai, chapter 1 and verse 4. We begin in verse 4. Haggai 1 and verse 4. Is it time for you, O you, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? The temple had been destroyed. And they came back for the purpose of building up the temple of God. The temple here is the analogy of the church of God. And it says it lays waste. Is this time? You live in your houses. Is it time for this house, the house of God, to lay waste? The analogy fits the church of God today. It's questions we need to address. Verse 5. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Think about your ways. Think about what you're doing. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You are clothed, but there is none warm. And he that earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. Think about this. God is telling it. Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it, scattered it away. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and you run every man unto his own house. And every man's house was looking really good. That's the analogy. We take care of us first, and the church is down the line. Is that what God wants to be? I'm not saying not take care of our houses. That's not what I'm saying. It's not what I'm implying. I'm not anywhere close to that. Neither is God saying that. But there has to be this attitude. And God wants that attitude. And we have to ask, do we have it? Because we need to realize something, brethren. Disunity and conflicts can impede, slow down, even stop, as it were, God's finishing his building. And a bond of peace is absolutely required for God's building to prosper and grow. So we ask, what does this bond of peace look like? If it is so important, and obviously it is, and I think we've pretty well stated enough about that we can see it is very important. The first thing is, and everything else falls in place from this. We must have God's goal and his vision for us. What does he have for us? What is his goal and where do we fit in? We've been talking about that. And one of the big things here, it is having one mind. It must be the mind of God that was in Jesus Christ. Philippians 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. That word there in the Greek means allow it to happen. Allow it to happen. It's not like that this is something he's telling us to do that it is so far out there that we can't accomplish, that we can't do. We can accomplish it because it gives us everything that we need. Allow this mind of Jesus Christ, which was in him, to also be in you. And then Ephesians 4 and verse 6. Back to Ephesians 4, verse 6. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. It's one mind. God is well aware of the possible disagreements, whatever word we'd want to use there, that will arise periodically among called out ones. There's going to be discomfort. There's going to be things. We're human beings, and God is aware of that. He's very aware of that. What he expects is that we will keep the peaceful bond that God created, that God creates by his Holy Spirit in us. He gave us the Holy Spirit for many things, of which the biggest is to build the church of God. And that takes this unity. Yeah, disagreements, different things like that are going to happen within even the body. God knows that. But he expects us to keep this bond of peace. That bond of peace is Jesus Christ. And he is not divided. In fact, he certainly cannot be divided. Therefore, let each one of us remember that we are to become our brother's keeper. In other words, we're to be looking out for one another. Yes, primarily it's within, you know, it's within the church of God, not necessarily our next door neighbor. Yeah, we do what we can do to help our next door neighbor. That's good. That's godly. But this is within the church of God. Now, I'm making all these statements because there are some people that will not. I know, you know, you go, oh, he's making this personal. Well, I'm not trying to make it personal. I'll just give you an example. There are certain congregations in the church of God that I cannot attend because of people's lack of understanding what this is actually being stated. They don't understand this. There are others. I'm not the only one. There are other people that are not allowed to attend certain congregations. That makes no sense. If we're part of the body, we're part of the body. Let's cut the arm off and throw it over there and see how long that part of the body is going to last. It isn't. It isn't. It has to have all the parts of the body. Also, we need to, along with learning and remembering that we are to become our brother's keeper, we also must learn to be suitable helpers. What does the person need? We don't just tell a person, here's your problem, here's what you need to do. We really need to know them. Are we suitable helpers to fit what they need? And that takes a lot of prayer, a lot of really understanding what the scriptures supply and what they are meaning. Remember, it is the servant of all who will be ruler of all. That's in Matthew 20, verse 26, we start. Matthew 20, 26. I'm going to read verse 27 from the New International Version. Verse 26. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. Brother, God's building is being built. And what we need to ask it on an individual basis and a congregational basis and as an administrative basis, are we doing our part? Are we doing our part? God's body is being perfectly formed. And we need to ask, are we supplying our part to the body? Being called into this vocation that Paul talked about is an awesome, precious gift. And what I ask is that we all embrace it, that we understand what is being stated here, that we're part of. Maybe some will go away and say, well, I didn't really get that. I didn't really understand that that's where I really am. Well, that's where we are. And we need to embrace it. We need to acknowledge that. And then we need to, each one of us, be about our Father's business. The Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. We are so blessed as the people of God. God bless each one of you. Happy Sabbath.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.